Tonight, we're teaching on everything is possible, including singing. Everything is possible. And that last song is a great example. That was sung by Tony Melendez, who was playing on the guitar. Very wonderful, very anointed song. But what is even more unusual is that he was born with no arms. So he's playing the guitar with his feet. All things are possible to him who believes and to him who doesn't give up and to she who doesn't quit. You can do all things with God. You and God can do anything. And all of us here and on the internet, we can tell miracles that God has done for us. When we've partnered with God, we've believed His word, and we spoke it, look at the miracles that have come to pass in our lives. All things are possible with God. Now, if you turn in your Bible, please, to Romans 8:31, I want you to see it in your own Bible. Romans 8:31. So Romans 8:31. Yet in all these things, if God be for us, who can be against us? You and God make a majority. The entire world is divided up, as far as I'm concerned, into three groups. God and all his angels, Satan and all his demons, and you. That's it. That's three sides. If you agree with God, then God's plans, God's power, everything God has for you can be manifested in your life. Because two of you are more than a match for the devil in your life. God is always more than a match for the devil, period. That's not an issue. The issue is in your life. Because you have dominion over your life. Your body belongs to you. Your life belongs to you. It belongs to nobody else but you. That's why God and his angels pay great attention to what you say. So do the devil and his demons. They pay attention to what you say. Because when you partner with God, then you and God can kick all of Satan's evil out of your life. But when you partner with the devil, then God's hands are tied and you and the devil end up with problems. I was thinking of that Jesse Duplantis song, Me and the Devil, We Had a Tussle. What was the next line? And I won? Yeah, I won. Okay. Me and the Devil, We Had a Tussle. Yeah. Yeah. And I won. So when you have a tussle with the devil, you want God in your corner. In fact, you want God in your corner all the time. Amen? For if God be for you, who can stand against you? And verse 32, he that spared not his own son, God loved you so much he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, for each of us individually, and for all of us. How shall God, with Jesus, not freely give you all things? My word, if this man that you met likes you so much and loves you so much, that he gave you this great, huge mansion in Beverly Hills and a huge Rolls Royce, and you drove your Rolls Royce over there and you have the key for the house, and off to the side is a 4-car or a 40-car garage, and you look at the garage, and it's you've never seen a garage so beautiful, and you turn around and said to the man, is it okay if I park my Rolls Royce in the garage? That would be a stupid question. He gave you the Rolls Royce. He gave you the mansion. He gave you everything. Why would he restrict you from parking in the garage? God gave you son. Why would he restrict you from any good things? No good thing will he withhold from you. Isn't that what it says? Say, if you know how to give good things to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father know to give good things to his children than when they ask? Amen? Philippians 4, verse 13. You and God can do all things, right? And we all know it literally. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen? We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. From the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. Short book. 4 chapters. Short book. Let me tell you about the book of Philippians. It's called the book of joy. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the book of joy, written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi, which was in Macedonia. Now, there are two Macedonians today. There's the country of Macedonia, which came out of Yugoslavia, and there's Macedonia, which is the northern province of Greece. And they really are having a lot of problems over there. In fact, Greece prevented Macedonia from entering the United Nations because they wouldn't change the name from Macedonia. No extra charge, okay? So, he wrote this book when he was in prison. Not a prison such as you and I have seen, and I mean, I've seen some bad prisons, visiting, not taking up, you know, long membership, just in and out, in a flash. But here the Apostle Paul was given residence for an extended time. And this prison was actually a converted septic tank. It was more than a tank. It was the area where all the refuse from the city, human refuse, went down and collected at like the bottom of the hill in his underground caverns. And the prisoners were chained to the wall up to their knees and thighs in this filth. And they had huge rats. And because the prisoners were chained to the wall, the rats could walk around and nibble on the ones who were weaker. Now, because he was a Roman citizen, once a month he got to write a letter, to receive letters and write them, because he's a Roman citizen. In that period of time, during the month when he got to write, he wrote the book that we call the Book of Philippians, Epistle to the Philippian Church. He wrote the book called the Book of Joy when he was imprisoned in human filth. It's called the Book of Joy because the word joy, joyous, rejoice, rejoiced, they're used about 19 times, 18 or 19 times in the small little book. 18 or 19 times in 4 chapters. Now, in addition to the words that I just used, joy, he used other words like grace, gladness, confident, peace, content, perfect, excellent, pleasure. Can you imagine using the word pleasure under those circumstances? His admonition, be careful for nothing. Be worried about nothing when he's imprisoned in this filth. And be content in all things. And that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. That's a wonderful example to follow. Now, some of you are going through challenges in your life. How does that compare to Tony Melendez, born with no arms? How does that compare to the Apostle Paul writing the Book of Joy? Tony Melendez has played for, I believe, 3 popes, at least 2, and I'm quite confident 3 popes. The anointing in his music is just obvious and awesome. There's a story that comes to mind about this man. Life was really bad. Things are going really, really bad. Finally decided to kill himself. So he went to a bridge, and he's looking at the water, and all he has left in the world is a banana. So he takes this banana, and he peels it. He loves bananas, like as I do. He peels a banana and he eats it slowly, enjoying it. His last meal on earth, a banana. He throws the skin on the ground, walks to the other rail to jump over, and a man came along, picked up the skin, and started eating the skin. And he looked at the man and decided not to kill himself. As challenging as life was for him, the man who was eating what he threw away had an even more challenging life. Now, you and God can do all things. You can change anything. You and God are a majority. But the way you achieve it is through the anointing. Isaiah 10:27 says, the anointing destroys the yoke. If you don't understand the anointing, if you don't respect the anointing, then the burdens, the yokes in your life, you're going to have great difficulty getting rid of them. The anointing destroys the yoke. What is the anointing? The anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit manifested for a specific purpose. The presence of the Holy Spirit manifested for a specific purpose. Luke 5:17. One way that occurs is when you're preaching. For example, if you're preaching, speaking the word of healing, the Spirit of God is there to confirm the word, such as in Luke 5, verse 17. Now, when you're doing affirmations, you're speaking to your body. You are rebuking the demons. And you're preaching to the angels and to the cheers and to everybody. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Let the earth rejoice, for I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen? Amen? And so, affirmations can manifest that anointing. But not if you're doing the affirmations in fear. It has to be in your heart. You believe the word of God. This is what the word of God says. So I'm saying it. I'm speaking it. A wonderful example is the testimony we played last Friday. Was it not last Friday? Last Sunday. The testimony. Tom's testimony. How Tom brought his son back, not only from death. He had been dead for, if I remember correctly, 20 minutes before they found him. Pronounced dead. Paramedics weren't doing anything. He brought him back from death. Tremendous miracle. And then when they got to the hospital, the doctor says, yeah, but big deal. His brain has melted. His brain has melted. And Tom brought him back from there to where he graduated from UCLA. When they measured him after a while, after he'd been progressing, his IQ was 0.1. You know, average IQ is it's 100. College IQ average is 120. If you're under, I believe, 50, you're considered mentally challenged. The names they used to use when I studied psychology would not be acceptable today. So you need to remain under the anointing. You need to remain under the anointing. You and God can do anything because the anointing of the Holy Spirit will destroy the bondage while you remain under the anointing. Make sense? Okay. No, to remain under the anointing, another way of saying that is you stay in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is wherever God has authority and dominion. Whatever belongs to Him, whatever you give to God, God has the right to do whatever He wants. But until you give it to Him, it belongs to you. God is not going to override your will. God cannot break His word. He gave you free will. To force you to do something would be for God to break His word. So we give what we have, what we are, what we have, what we own, we give it to God. So that God can be there, His presence is there, the kingdom of God is there. So we stay in the kingdom of God. But Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Everything you need will come when you seek and keep seeking the kingdom of God. When you seek it and you stay in it, then the anointing can destroy the yoke. But Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So you should seek righteousness, peace, and joy so you can stay in the kingdom, so the anointing can destroy the yoke, so you and God can do anything. And only you can keep yourself in the kingdom of God. Only you can keep yourself in righteousness, peace, and joy. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek your righteousness through Him. Seek your righteousness, peace, and joy, and His righteousness. Put them together, then you got the anointing present. Amen? Amen. No, to stay in the kingdom in righteousness, peace, and joy, you need to watch your joy, peace, and patience. When you start to lose your joy, peace, and patience, you know you're moving out of the kingdom. You know you're moving out of the anointing. You know you're separating yourself from God, and you're going to have trouble getting your prayers answered. Amen? Now, let me give you an example of how to do it. Nikki's going to come up very boldly and give a testimony. This is Nikki's testimony, and I'm using it as an example how to keep doing it God's way, how to keep staying in the place in the kingdom where God's anointing can change what seems to be a very dramatic and bad situation. Come on up, Nikki.
Okay, this is from just this past Wednesday. Well, on Wednesday, I have school pretty early, and I have to wake up early. I got up a little after 4 o'clock in the morning, didn't have much sleep, but got up, did my prayers, my affirmations, went to school, and the parking was a challenge, first week of school, so I parked way far away from the school and had to walk up. And after class, you know, I had to walk back, and it was in the heat, and I'm in full uniform. So all the way there, I'm praying because it's hot. and then after class, I come over here and help Pastor Joshua and Sarah, and I clean. And while I was getting ready that morning to get my food ready, I noticed that I was out of protein zone. And I was like, okay, I made a note. I have to get some of that because I take it with me to school. And so when I got here and I was cleaning, the Holy Spirit reminded me and the Lord told me that I was out of protein zone and I needed to go to Target. So when I was done here, I prayed and I asked the Lord if it was His perfect will that I went and picked up some protein zone. And He said yes, and I believe He said to go to the Target in Laverne. So right before I left, I told Pastor Sarah, I'm going to go to Target and get some protein zone, get some groceries. And, you know, I prayed and I asked the Lord which way to drive, and He told me which way. And before I left, I always pray over my car, and I prayed for favor and for perfect parking when I got to Target. And when I got there, I got in the parking lot, and I came up, and I didn't even have to make a turn or anything. I just had to go whoop right in, and I was up close next to the little area where there's like grass and a little tree, so a little bit of shade. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Went into Target, got my groceries, and when I came out, I had my cart, come up to my car, and there's a woman next to my car, and she goes, is this your car? And I'm like, yes. You hit my car. I called the police. They're on their way. And I went, what? And in that moment, all these thoughts, you know, bombarded me, like, but I prayed. I believe the Lord told me to come here. You know, why would this happen? All these thoughts. And I was like, no. Okay. I'm sorry, miss. What are you talking about? I didn't hit your car. She's like, well, look at this, you know? And she started showing me this, you know, where her car got hit and there was a scratch and a dent. And I went, I'm sorry. I didn't hit your car because you weren't even parked here when I got here. It was a different car. And I told her that when I got here, there was a different car there, and I didn't even have to turn. All I had to do was go in, and the car next to me was close to the line. So when I got out of my car, I had to be really careful to get out, and then I had to open the door behind me to push my backpack back because it had fallen over while I was driving, and then I went in. And she wasn't really listening. She was accusing and stuff. So I'm like, okay. I call my husband and I tell him, you know, what's going on, what happened. And she said she's calling the police. And she tried to tell me that a scratch on my front bumper, on the very front of it, was a black scratch that, see, that's black. That's where you hit my car. And then other dents on her thing, she said, you must have opened your door and hit my door. And so I'm like, okay, I try to explain to her, I'm like, that scratch right there was there when this was my parents' car. know, and if you see my car, it's got a lot of dents and dings in it. And so she wasn't listening. And also the part that she was accusing me of was up high on the back of her car, and the part of mine was down low. And so I'm talking to my husband, and I'm just, okay, putting away my groceries like normal as she's, you know, kind of going on. And then I'm like, okay, I got to go and put the cart away. So I go around, put the cart away. And as I'm doing that, talking to my husband, I'm praying, and I'm forgiving her, you know, because I had these thoughts of, oh, I'm tired. This is the last thing I need. You know, I was in Target, and I was proclaiming, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I came out here, you know, and So I get back to my car and Eric's like, do you have any pictures? I'm like, yeah, I have pictures. You know, I can show her that that's been there for a long time. And so I get off the phone, I get in my car, roll down the windows and get on my phone. I'm praying in tongues, you know, and I go and I find a picture from exactly a year ago when I started school in August that my dad took of me in my scrubs, which I was wearing right then, you know, in front of the car, you know, with the license plate, everything, and the scratch right there. And so I asked her, I'm like, can you come over here, please? I want to show you something. And I explained to her, this car was a gift from my parents for my birthday when I went back to school last year, exactly a year ago in August. And as you can see, this car has a lot of dents and bumps and scratches in it. And see that one right there that you're saying I hit your car? I zoom in. There it is. You know, and I have other pictures too that I've taken of the car and it shows that. And so she just went, oh, like that. And then I look at her and I just tell her right to her face, I forgive you in Jesus' name. And she's looking at me. I'm like, do you know Jesus? You know, are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus? And she goes, yes. And I asked her about, does she go to church? She said, I haven't been in a while. I'm like, have you ever proclaimed that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? And she said, no. I'm like, would you like to pray right now with me and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And she said, yes. And so I led her in the sinner's prayer. And then I prayed for her after that. I prayed for her. I prayed for her car. I prayed, you know, and her name is Julie. So if the Lord leads you, pray for her and bless her. You know, God loves her so much. And after that, I showed her like all the other stuff in my car. Her total countenance changed. She went from angry and impatient and accusing to, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Do you forgive me? And I went, yes, you know. And so I started to show her other things. And I told her, you know, just this last week, somebody dented my car. You know, at first, I wanted to say something to them, but I prayed and I didn't. And my husband went in and banged it out, you know, and then I showed her, see that other dent right there? This was my parents' car before I had it. And it's been through a lot. It's been cross country from Georgia to California. And that dent right there in the bumper, as you can tell, my bumper and the car are two different colors because my husband went to the junkyard and got a bumper off another car because there was a big, huge dent in it. And there's still a little bit on the side. When my brother was driving it, it was still my with my parents' car. They were at the, he was at a grocery store in the parking lot, and a woman hit him, and she was upset, and she didn't want her husband to know and didn't want to call the police or get the insurance involved. And so my brother was like, it's okay, fine, I'll let you go. And I was telling her, it's just a car, you know. And so I prayed for restoration, you know, for what happened to her. And it's just amazing because I thought I was just going to Target to get some protein zone and get some groceries. And I told her that. I told her, I just came from my pastor's house right now. And I prayed and I asked the Lord. And I believe he said he wanted me to come here to get some grocery items. And I that's what I thought I was coming here for. But he had me come here for you. You
know? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So when you stick with the Lord and hang in there, very wonderful things happen. And I know probably you all have stories similar, but this one just happened. And it seems to be a wonderful example how you stay and stick with the anointing and work through the entire process. And the end result was a soul got saved. Amen? Which is what it's all about. Amen. So we understand that with God, nothing is impossible. Now, as we listen to these scriptures tonight, I want to bring to your attention Psalm 89, verse 34. Psalm 89, verse 34. God says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. In other words, God is saying, if I've said it, I'm not going to change it. If I've said it, I would do it. He says, if you bring my word back to me, I'll see that it performs what it should. God cannot lie. God cannot break his promise. God cannot break his oath. God cannot break his covenant. And this Bible is his covenant. But there's a partnership. And the partnership is you've got to do your part. God said he'd provide all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus in the book of joy. Philippians 4:19. Right? Now if you're sitting on a chair by the tap in your kitchen and you want a glass of water and you pray that God gives you a glass of water, but you don't reach out to get a cup and turn the water on, you'd probably sit there praying until you die of thirst. Right? You've got to do your part. It is a partnership. Jesus died for you so that you and I have everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything. But the partnership is we have to believe the word of God. We got to accept Jesus as Savior, accept Him as Lord, and believe the promises, and then meet the conditions of the promises. And one of the conditions of all the promises is faith. The faith to believe the word of God. The faith to speak the word of God. The faith to act as if when you spoke the word of God, God already did it. Right? So Mark 9:23. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. Can we believe? Of course. It's the word of God. It's in our heart, we know this is the word of God. So can we believe it? In our heart, yes. The challenge is in your mind, because the devil will bombard your mind with fiery darts of doubt and unbelief. The key is to recognize the difference between what goes into your mind and what's in your heart. Doubt and unbelief are in your mind coming from the devil. In your heart is the faith to know this is the word of God, and you need to act on that faith in your heart. Mark 9:29, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith. What's your faith? Believing in your heart. And if you believe in your heart, you must speak and act as if you believe. If you believe in your mind, then there's no necessary action. Believing in your mind is mental assent. Believing in your heart requires that you speak and act as if it is done, as if you believe it. So according to your faith, according to your believing in your heart, according to your speaking with your mouth and acting on it, it will be done unto you. Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus said, they said, why could we not cast out the demons out of this kid? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Because they were believing the words coming to their mind, not what Jesus had said in their heart. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, if you have a little bit of seed, little bit of seed, little bit of faith, enough to believe that this is the Bible, is the word of God, then you can speak it and do it, and it will come to pass. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Did I say that? And nothing shall be impossible unto you? What did you say after me? Nothing shall be impossible to me. Nothing shall be impossible unto me. Let's say it one more time. Nothing shall be impossible to me. If you speak it and believe in your heart and act as if you believe it. Amen? Matthew 21:21. Matthew 21:21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you should not only do this which is done to the fig tree. He cursed the fig tree and it died. Just as we curse cancer and it dies, we curse cold viruses, cold bacteria, and it dies. You curse Ebola, it will die. Okay? The 53 people in Orange County have come down with West Nile disease over the last few months. You curse West Nile virus, it will die. Okay? If you have faith and doubt not, you should not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. You speak it with your mouth and then you act and converse and talk as if you believe it has already been done and it shall come to pass. Matthew 21:22. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You ask in prayer, believing, not doubting in your heart, and you shall receive it. Matthew 8, verse 9. The centurion has asked Jesus to come heal his servant. And Jesus said, okay, I'll go with you. And he said, wait a second, you don't need to come with me. In Matthew 8, 9, for I'm a man under authority. He's under authority. He's obedient to those above him, and those below him are obedient to him. He is in the line of authority, just as you and I are. Above us is God. And below us is everything on earth, including animals, the earth, nature, tornadoes, everything. All circumstances of life are below you. Including, you know, scripture says, even the heathen will be obedient to you. Including devils, demons, and evil spirits. All below you. Because you're seated in heavenly places, high, 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 far, 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 above everything else. So you're in the line of authority, and you're way up there. So this centurion is pretty far up. There's 100 people under him. But how many above him? How many levels between him and the emperor of Rome? And the answer is a lot. But above us, there's God. Below us, there is everything. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Just like you and I say to demons, go, and the demons go. Okay? We tell tornadoes, go, and they go. We tell hurricanes, go, and they go. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. In other words, the man is saying to Jesus, all these things are obedient to you, so why waste your time walking to my house? Just speak the word. Just say the word only and it shall be done. And that's what you and I need to capture. God is in you. Word is in you. Jesus is the living word. Speak the word and it's done. All things are possible to you. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. He believed in his heart, and what he believed in his heart, he matched with his words by telling Jesus, and matched with his actions by coming to Jesus. And then left him and went home. And in that same hour, the servant was healed. Amen? Matthew 15:27. This is a woman who is not a Jew, and she comes to Jesus and says, my daughter is very, very sick. Please help. And he ignores her for a while, and finally says, it's not proper to take the children's bread, he's calling healing the children's bread, and give it to the dogs. Now notice that Jesus is calling healing the children's bread. Bread was the main staple that they lived on. And he's saying healing is a main staple and belongs to you. We're children of the kingdom. Every child of God should walk in health because healing is the children's bread. He said, it's not proper to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And instead of getting offended and walking out, she said, Lord, even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. What an awesome statement of faith and humility and obedience. My word. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. Great is your faith. That's what we want. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Matthew 8:12. Jesus is saying, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's saying many of Abraham's children will be cast out because they won't accept the Messiah. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And the servant was healed in the same hour. As you have believed, so shall it be done unto you. Let's go to the book of Mark. Mark 10:27. Mark 10:27. And Jesus, looking up on them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. What is impossible for man is possible for God. In James 3, verse 8, it says, it's impossible for you to tame your tongue. Impossible for you to tame your tongue. But death and life is in the power of your tongue. And your tongue leads you into snares and troubles. or your tongue leads you into peace. And you're fed by the goodness coming out of your tongue. The fruit of your tongue feeds you. And you're justified by your tongue. But it's impossible for you to control it. But with God, all things are possible. So you turn your tongue over to the Holy Spirit. And you ask the Holy Spirit to control your tongue. So God, in Jesus' name, put a watch upon my tongue, lest I sin against you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you. And you pray in tongues a lot. And you let God tame your tongue for you. And your tongue leads you into a life of abundance. An Ephesians 3:20 lifestyle. Mark 10:50. The blind man kept yelling out for Jesus. And they said, be quiet, you're disturbing him. And he kept yelling louder. And finally Jesus said, come. What did he do? He took off his garment and threw it away. You think, what a strange thing to do. The master is calling you and you're throwing away your garment. Because the garment that a beggar had was a special garment. Give them permission to beg. People knew they're beggars. They were okay for them to beg. He threw it away. That was his step in faith. His words were, Jesus, help. But the action was, throw it away. I don't need it anymore. The master has called me. You understand what he's saying? I don't need it anymore. I'm not going to beg anymore because the master is going to heal my eyes. Okay? And blind Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what will you that I should do with you? And the blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Which faith? The faith with his mouth of calling on Jesus and the faith of his actions have thrown away. Because faith is speaking and doing. Because if you believe in your heart, you cannot help but speak and do. And immediately he received the sight and followed Jesus. Followed him. What a wonderful thing to do when you get a major miracle. Follow Jesus. Mark 5:33. The woman with the issue of blood has just touched the hem of Jesus' garment and has been healed. And the woman fearing and trembling. Why fearing and trembling? Because the law was, if you have an issue of blood, you cannot go into the public. And you certainly can't go into a crowd. And you certainly can't be touching the master's clothes. And the head rabbi was there. She could have been put to death for several reasons. Put to death for several reasons. And she's now the center of attraction. So the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. The faith of trusting God, the faith of going to Jesus, the faith of going out and risking her life to go to Jesus. She had demonstrated her faith. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. And be whole of the plague. That's after having an issue of blood for 12 years. Mark 5:35. While he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Jairus had come to Jesus to raise his daughter from the dead. Took a lot of faith to come ask him to raise his daughter. Was that enough faith? Probably not. He needed to do something more. What was the more? The more was he said, come quickly, okay, but my daughter is near death. And instead of coming, the master is now sidetracked dealing with this woman with the issue of blood. And Jairus could be grabbing him and say, come on, leave this woman alone. She's nothing. Leave her. Come, come. My daughter is near death. But he stayed in the kingdom of God. He stayed in joy and peace and patience. He did not judge her and look down upon her. He did not say, hey, you shouldn't even be ministering to her because she was in public with an issue of blood. He sat patiently waiting while his daughter is at the point of death. And then they come and said, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter just died. He could have broke out with a lot of profanities, abused the lady. He could have yelled at Jesus. He could have been depressed. He could have done a lot of things. He apparently just kept his mouth shut. But Jesus intervened as soon as he came. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Only believe. Only believe. But believing means believing in your heart, not your mind. Only believe in your heart, which is a synonym for having faith in your heart. And if you believe in your heart, you will speak and act like you believe. Only believe. And her daughter was restored. Only believe. Luke 1:37. Book of Luke. Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. See, we all know that. With God, nothing is impossible. But see, with God and you, you're a majority. With God and you, nothing is impossible. God is your Father. He loves you. You're the apple of His eye. He will give you anything that's according to His promise. He can't break it. But He doesn't want to break it because He loves you. Get into your spirit. You and God can do anything. God is just waiting for you to believe it and say it and do it. Speak it into existence. Call things that be not until they be. Nothing is impossible. So Luke 8:47. When the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared unto him before all the people why she touched him and how she was healed immediately. In other words, she's actually saying, here's all the things I did. I broke all these laws. I broke all these laws of coming out in public with an issue of blood. And he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. I understand she broke a lot of laws. Because she was living by the spirit of the law, not by the letter of the law. Luke 8:49. While he yet spoke, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But Jesus heard and answered him, saying, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Fear not, believe only. That's the same story with Jairus, okay? Fear not, believe only. Fear and faith are the opposite sides of a coin. You can't look at the head and the tail at the same time. You got to make a choice. You can look at faith or you can look at fear. Faith brings God's power on the scene. Faith looses God into your life. Fear brings the devil on the scene. Fear looses the devil's power into your life. That's why every time you recognize fear, you need to repent, renounce, and break its hold. And if you have to do that 20 times an hour, for a few days or a few weeks or a few months, do it. You must conquer fear. Because fear will destroy your faith. Luke 7:47. This woman had been anointing his feet with oil. And the Pharisees were complaining. Luke 7:47. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, your sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. All things are possible for you when you stay in Christ Jesus and when you speak and act in faith. Now I'm going to show you a video testimony of a person, a girl, a little girl, who was raised and was taught never to say, I cannot. Never to say, I can't. She was taught to believe that all things were possible. She lived her life believing all things were possible. She was taught never to say, I can't. I want to thank Bill and Ann and Linda for this video.
Believe that.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing is if you're never given limits, then you think, I can do anything.
And if she could do anything, she wanted it to be this. What she saw her hero, Dominique Mociano, doing on TV. There was just one problem. Jennifer was born without legs. a devastating birth defect that had led her natural parents to abandon her the day she was born.
It bothered me to think that there was a little girl that was left at the hospital, and she had no legs, so I thought she needed a family that would love her and take care of her.
Sharon and her husband Gerald brought her home to the tiny town of Hardinville, Illinois. Population 50, they say, if you count the dogs and cats. They decided to raise her like they raised their three healthy sons, with no limitations and just one simple rule.
Never say the word.
Can't.
You said, I want to be a tumbler. You didn't have legs.
Right. You kind of need those, most people think, to tumble.
Well, think again. The girl who wasn't allowed to say can't was on her way to becoming a genuine gymnastics champion. She started at 7 on the trampoline with her dad. Oh. And after a few falls, she got the hang of it. In time, she was competing. And soon after that, she was dominating. And by high school, Jennifer Bricker, are you ready for this? Was the tumbling champion of the state of Illinois. Soon, Jennifer was pursuing other sports too. Even one you'd figure she had absolutely no chance to play well. Until it turned out, she could steal the ball. Even grab a few rebounds.
And she could make baskets, too.
She didn't consider herself handicapped. She was talking to some friends one time, and one of them said something about her being handicapped. She said, well, I'm not handicapped. And they said, well, you have to use a wheelchair. She said, just to keep them getting dirty.
One day at age 16, out of curiosity, Jennifer asked her mother a question.
Hey, is there anything that you, like, know about my adoption or biological family that you didn't tell me?
I said, okay, but you gotta sit down. And she said, Mom, I'm always sitting. And she said, maybe you should sit down. I said, okay, let me sit down. And she said, well, what's the big deal? Just tell me what my last name is. And I said, well, that's the big deal. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, your last name would have been Moceanu.
I knew what that meant. I knew that Dominique Moceanu was my biological sister.
When she finally tracked Dominique down, Jennifer wrote her a letter. Inside the envelope were adoption papers, a photograph, and a stunning piece of news.
My biological last name is Moceanu. That line, I was just like, I can't believe this is happening. Everything was there. The evidence was there. Jennifer looked like the spitting image of my youngest sister, Christina.
What a moment for anyone to even speak to their childhood idol, but for their childhood idol to be their sister, that's something.
She told me she was an athlete in the letter. In fact, I was her inspiration to start tumbling and doing gymnastics. And then on the phone call, she goes, oh, by the way, I have no legs.
I mean, she's like, wait a minute, didn't you just tell me that you're an acrobat and you did all these sports and I could just hear the wheels turning, and you know? Yeah.
And I said, who is this girl? Oh my gosh. How did she have this attitude to persevere in life and overcome every obstacle? And she's my sister.
Jennifer has moved out to Hollywood. Where else if you want to be a star? She drives a specially equipped car and lives a normal, independent life. And she's earning a living. How else? As a gymnast. She's an acrobat who has toured with Britney Spears. And now she's training for a classical performance at New York's Lincoln Center.
We got to go to Ohio and got to watch her perform. The audience just went crazy. They stood up and they were whistling and screaming and clapping and all this. And I was blubbering. I was sobbing because it was so beautiful. And it's like, oh my goodness, that's my baby.
The baby who was taught early on never to say the word can't.
Well, I hope tonight has been an opportunity for each of us to look at our lives and to understand that we have accomplished much, and there are still challenges. But we can overcome every one of those challenges because we have God in us, and God wants to be in us. No matter what your challenge is, you and God can overcome it. the word of God in your heart, coming out of your mouth, can change everything and anything. So you and I should develop in our heart an image of the way you want to be and of where you're going. And then partner with God to bring that into being. God loves you so much that He wants you to have a life that's better than you have ever imagined it. That's John 10:10 in the Message Bible. Habakkuk 3 verse 19. God is your strength, your personal bravery, and your invincible army. Invincible means can't be beaten. God is your invincible army. You can do anything and you can overcome every challenge of life. We have no excuses. And the only way you can lose is to say, I quit. Is to say, I quit. Winners never quit. They may get beat up. They may be thrown down. But they get up and they keep crawling forward. And they never accept excuses. I blew it, but I'm going to start over. And you and the Word of God can mold your life into exactly what you want. And it makes no difference how young you are, how old you are. Time is not important to God. And let me tell you, you have eternity. Okay? You have eternity. And before the eternity, you have 1,000 years coming up in the millennial period to practice. And before the millennial period, we have some time on this earth as it is right now, before the earth is changed. We have some time on this earth to practice and get it better. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big round. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay.